It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
I pulled up on the intersection and I saw the shooter coming from the cars, actually, right outside the church that were parked. His vehicle was parked, door open, engine running, and him and the neighbor across the street were both coming out about the same time, exchanging fire. And as he came up, I never got a look at him. I never really saw him. I saw the gunfire. The shooter got in his truck. The gentleman in the with the rifle came to my truck as the shooter took off, and he briefed me quickly on what had just happened and said that we had to get him, and so that's what I did. We just take pursuit. We speed over 87 through traffic, and we, like I said, we hit about 95 going down 539 trying to catch this guy until he eventually lost control on his own and went off in the ditch. He just hurt so many people, and he just affected so many people's lives. Why wouldn't you want to take him down?
That was the voice of Johnny Langendorf, who was a boyfriend of someone who attended the church. I'm not even clear if he was in the church. I kind of don't think he was. A neighbor got his shotgun and pursued the killer, and you heard what happened. I'm sort of starting backwards, but I think that's kind of an important story, especially since after the mass murder yesterday at First Baptist Church in this little town, Sutherland Springs, Texas, 26 people dead. Potentially others may die, at least 20-something other people injured. The church, they say, even when on a good day, has 50 people. So it looks as though most of the people were either killed or shot who were in the service yesterday morning worshiping. Now, some did escape, and so I'm sure we'll be hearing stories about this and more descriptions. The shooter went in with, you know, dressed in military gear, dressed in all black. He had a vest to protect himself, so I don't think he intended, personally, I don't think he intended to die. I think he intended to flee. And so he was fleeing when these guys brought him down. Now, whether he killed himself or whether their shots killed him, we don't know. We're not clear about that. But I think this is an important part of this story. And in our understanding of the story, while we hear the left rail about guns and gun control, we have to be clear that the thing that saved at least some people in this Texas town were two men, a neighbor and another guy in his truck with guns. They were the ones that actually stopped him because the police can't be everywhere. They just can't be. And so NBC News actually has a bit more of the details. Let's listen, then I have more blanks to fill in. Let's listen.
Tonight, residents living in this small Texas town stunned, trying to make sense of what's described as a Sunday service massacre.
It was rapid fire. It was just boom, 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 boom.
In front of the church. In front of the church.
Authorities say the shooter, 26-year-old Devin Patrick Kelly, opened fire inside Sutherland Springs First Baptist Church. That's southeast of San Antonio. He was killed after fleeing the scene. Paul Buford's church is right down the road.
I know everybody in there. I mean, our churches work together. We go to lunch with the pastor. And we started praying for everyone that was involved in it.
The small congregation, including families with children, so many were rushed to hospitals by ground and air. The pastor's teenage daughter among the dead.
Ambulances everywhere. We got two air life copters outside.
Carrie Matula works at a nearby gas station and heard it all.
I never thought it would happen here. I mean, this is something that takes place in a big city. It doesn't make any sense.
Neighbors close to the shooting in shock.
You never think something like this is going to happen close to home, you know. These people in small communities, they leave their doors open at night so that they trust people.
Tonight, investigators combing the scene for answers as flags fly at half-staff. A devastating blow in this close-knit community reeling from what's being called the country's deadliest shooting inside a house of worship.
All right, so that was NBC News, and we know that the killer's name was Devin Patrick Kelly, 26 years old. We know he was in the Air Force. We know that he was discharged, that he had beaten his wife and child. We know that he was, according to the Daily Mail, an avid atheist. We also are hearing that he was a one-time Bible teacher, but now a rabid atheist, and that he displayed his gun online just last week, just a few days before the assault, with a caption that I can't read because it's because of the language. So we know that he was a resident of New Braunfels, a suburb of San Antonio. And could I pause? His victims ranged from age 5 to 72. One of them was the daughter of the pastor, 14 years old. The pastor and his wife were not at the church. They were traveling back from some sort of a meeting in Oklahoma. So you can imagine the thoughts. You can just imagine. They've described the people in the church as, you know, their best friends and family, the pastor and his wife. So I think we can't even probably comprehend what they're feeling today. You know, a couple of things I want to share. When I heard the news yesterday, you know, this is becoming weekly, a weekly occurrence. It just occurred to me, is it possible, would it be possible that these murders who take place in the streets of New York City on bicyclists, then a small town of 300 people in Texas, a gay nightclub in Orlando, the exact reasons, the nature of the people, why they pulled the trigger, vary. But the common theme is that all of the people being killed are Americans for the most part, and they're being killed on American soil. And I just found myself wondering, could we possibly unite around the fact that we don't want our loved ones slaughtered in church, on bike paths, in nightclubs, that we don't want this to continue, that we must agree that we are under assault? There's something happening here. Of course, those of us that are Christians know, I heard the most powerful testimonies I think I've ever heard on television after the shootings yesterday. And I don't mean by victims. I mean, one was Dan Patrick, the lieutenant governor of Texas, on Fox, talking about faith in Jesus Christ and the fact that Christians know that they're being targeted. He said, you know, just ask any Christian who's on Facebook or tries to talk about their faith, how much hatred they receive for what they're saying. And then the head of the Southern Baptist Convention in Texas, Jim Richards, gave a beautiful message of the gospel in this way. One, the reason, because I think people could understand what he was saying. He said this. He said, we are all evil. We are all filled with evil. It is only by the blood of Jesus that some of us have accepted God's offer of forgiveness and have been fighting, rejecting the evil in ourselves. And he just talked about the blood of Jesus, the uniqueness of it. It was really powerful, especially given the timing of this. And so you know that God does not waste these tragedies. He doesn't waste them. He never does. He shines his light in the darkest of areas. He reaches men, touches people in ways they maybe could never be touched before. But I don't think God wants to do it this way. I didn't say God did this. I'm not that much of a Calvinist. Some of you probably are. I'm not. God allowed it, yes. He knew it was going to happen, yes. But I don't think it means that he caused it. And that's the big difference for me. But God, in his mercy, uses these horrible situations. He used the death of his son to bring the world to reconciliation with him. So God will not waste this. And that's the one consolation that we have. There are forces at work that we can't see. This is a battle between evil and good. You know, I touched on this just last week a little bit because of that. The New York incident had just happened when we started last week. And before that, the Las Vegas incident had started. And I said to you, and I will say this again, you know, evil is just becoming more bold. It's always been there. There is a real entity, a Satan. There is Satan. And he does have supernatural power, and he does have demons. And we can't see these. You know, the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers of an unseen world that we cannot see. But we're beginning to kind of get glimpses, aren't we, of what this wickedness actually looks like. And so that's why when we like throw in Halloween, where we talk about demons and bloody faces and vampires and zombies, I'm not down with that. And I honestly would suggest, I'm not talking about little kids dressed like, you know, Snoopy. I'm talking about the celebration of wickedness. I wouldn't do that if I were you. I wouldn't do that. I think it's time to recognize that we are in a spiritual battle. The war is raging and people are being slaughtered, even in our churches. It's time to recognize the enemy. But understanding, you know, greater is he that is in us, and that's God. For those of you that don't know that church language, that's a scripture verse. God is greater than all of this, and we understand that. Satan cannot do anything unless God allows it. But it is a battle that's raging in places we cannot see. We know that our God is greater, but we also have to recognize, certainly we are not strong enough to stand against those forces of wickedness, only as God's power intervenes and allows us. So here we are with another terrible, terrible thing that happened. I would say this. As a practical matter, remember I told you probably a month ago that, now this is just speculation on my part, but Antifa, was planning on having some sort of an all-out assault on American soil. I believe it was November 4th. And there was an article that I read. I thought I printed it out, but I didn't see it this morning. About how, that didn't happen. Too bad. I think it was supposed to be Saturday. But I have to tell you, I wonder if the law enforcement is ever honest with us, if there isn't some involvement with Antifa in this. Based on the way this guy dressed, the way he responded, his atheism, his hatred. I mean, it could be personal, but it also could be Antifa. And I have to tell you also, this is a story. I'm not actually going to go into this but I will mention it. You know that the Las Vegas shooter, do you recognize that? What did anything ever happen with that? Anything ever happen with his girlfriend? Do we know anything more? Really and truly, after all these weeks, he's just some guy who liked to gamble, an evil genius, really? We're not hearing any more about that? You know, I have friends in intelligence agencies who have a theory about that shooter. And this is just a theory, but I'm just telling you, these are not like crazies who are coming up with this theory. And one of these, based on some things that happened concurrent with that, was that there might have been a second shooter in that adjacent room, and that he might have been an Australian member of Antifa that they have identified. I don't know if that's true or not, and if there's a paper or a report that comes out about that, I promise I will share that with you in more detail. But I do think that there's more, certainly, the hatred toward followers of Jesus is increasing. It's getting more laser focused, whether it's from Islam or, you know, Islamists, or whether it's from Antifa. It seems like, you know, the people of the book are the tip of the spear in terms of what they're aiming at. And so it's pretty amazing to me. If you weren't a believer now in God's word and the truth of it, you should be, because it actually predicted all of this. And it's just extraordinary affirmation of our faith to see the focus of this evil be pointed at people like you and like me who believe in Jesus. I'll be right back after this.
So what would you do with an extra $500 a month in your budget? $500. This isn't hypothetical, by the way. This is something you may need to think about very soon if you decide to become a member of MediShare. MediShare is a way to pay for your health care, and typically it costs $500 less per month for a family versus other health care plans. So seriously, think about this. You could pay off loans, pay down a mortgage, save the money for retirement, donate to charity. That would be a big deal. But you know what? Here's the best thing. MediShare works. It has 250,000 members, and it's growing fast. With MediShare, not only do you save, you don't have to pay for things you don't believe in either, and that is a beautiful thing too. So here's how you can find out more, and you might actually wind up saving even more than $500 a month. So check into it. Here's the number. Call 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23, now available in Montana. 855-PSALM-23.
I feel so hopeless.
Is there any hope? I just feel like there's no hope at all.
Is there any hope?
Get hope.
I approached this year's birthday with just a touch of unrest.
That's TWR President Lauren Libby.
I sensed a gap between expectations and the reality of experience. One Saturday morning, I listed the things I've been asking God for the past 15 years. And in a column beside each expectation, I wrote to what degree I had seen Jesus fulfill answers. Then, on my actual birthday, I talked to the Lord about these expectations, promises, and heart yearnings. As a result, the Lord gave me a sense of peace about my relationship with Him, my family, and relational expectations. Every physical birthday brings you and me closer to a final hope.
Need more hope? We have resources waiting for you, including a free devotional. You'll find them at GetHopeRadio.com. That's GetHopeRadio.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
From director Kevin Sorbo and executive producer Sean Hannity comes Let There Be Light. Saul Harkins is a man who has turned away from God, but a near-fatal car crash gives him one last chance to renew his life, his family, and his faith. Let There Be Light, rated PG-13, may be inappropriate for children under 13. Now playing. More information is available at LetThereBeLightMovie.com.
Liberty University is preparing students to enter a competitive job market. They have a low student-to-professor ratio, a caring Christian faculty, and more than 550 programs of study, ranging from undergraduate certificates to doctoral degrees. As the largest Christian university in the world, Liberty continues to establish itself as both a leading liberal arts university and an institution dedicated to the Christian faith. Learn more at liberty.edu. That's liberty.edu. For as far back as anyone can remember, the guys wore navy blue gowns and the girls wore pale blue gowns. That's the way graduation's been at California's Camarillo High School. But this year, that tradition comes to an end, all for the sake of gender inclusivity. The school district decided graduation gowns will only be one color to accommodate students who are gender neutral or have no gender at all. It's the latest cause celeb for the sex and gender neutral revolutionaries. Students are furious. They don't understand why they have to end a tradition to accommodate one person, if that many. But there might be a simple fix. I say the guy should show up on graduation day wearing navy blue and the girl should wear powder blue. And if the principal objects, just tell them you're color neutral. And as a color neutral student, your navy blue gown actually identifies as a powder blue gown. Well, that ought to get the school district seeing red. I'm Todd Starnes.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Americans do what they do best. We pull together. We join hands, we lock arms, and through the tears and through the sadness, we stand strong, oh so strong. My administration will provide its full support to the great state of Texas and all local authorities investigating this horrible crime. I've spoken just a few minutes ago with Governor Abbott, and we offer our thanks to the first responders, the FBI, all of the many people involved, both federal and otherwise. Ultimately, they stopped the suspect, and rendered immediate life-saving aid to certain victims of the shooting. I will continue to follow the developments closely. All of America is praying to God to help the wounded.
All right, that was President Trump, who is, by the way, on a very long trip. He just left to be overseas. He's in Japan this morning. He was in Japan last night. He's there because we face such threats from North Korea. So the president is trying to consolidate support in that part of the world between China, Japan, Korea, South Korea. I know that's much of what he'll be doing apart from discussing trade. And we'll get into that more probably tomorrow. But today, I just think we have to talk about this attack in Texas. But there's something else that happened yesterday. I don't know if you heard this. This is just shocking to me. Actually, let's listen to this report from CNN, and then I'll fill in the blanks a little bit.
Republican Senator Rand Paul was assaulted outside his home. We're learning this morning that the injuries he sustained are worse than originally thought. An advisor to the senator tells CNN he has five rib fractures, including three displaced fractures and lung contusions. The advisor says it's not clear when the senator will return to work. Kentucky State Police say Senator Paul was assaulted by a neighbor in his gated community. They say 59-year-old Rene Boucher tackled the senator from behind. U.S. Capitol Police and the FBI are both investigating the attack.
Yeah, you know what? The thing that strikes me is how they are minimizing this story. Senator Rand Paul was, according to what I'm reading, mowing his lawn when his neighbor, Rene Boucher, who they just gave his name, attacked him from behind. Now, we don't know how he attacked him. The reports up to what I've read this morning were that, you know, mild injuries, you know, somebody attacked him, no big deal. But you heard from that report right there, five broken ribs and bruises to his lungs. It's unclear when he'll return from Washington. And the neighbor, Rene Boucher, is another doctor. So Rand Paul, of course, is an ophthalmologist. He volunteers in a clinic when he's back from Congress. Boucher is an anesthesiologist who was, from various reports, employed for a time and then not employed. He's been described, actually, I could read it to you or I can just tell you, as extremely liberal. Jeff Jones, who's a nurse who worked with Boucher at the Bowling Green Medical Center, said he's liberal and actually said he has been referred to as a socialist. He was active on social media, said some negative things about the Republican agenda. I think it is unfortunate that they live so close together. Boucher's Facebook page, now it's been taken down, had links to articles and memes critical of the president. A news article about the Montana Republican congressional candidate who attacked a reporter the day before winning his seat. It was Jim Bullington, a former member of the city commission in Bowling Green, who knows both men. He said Sunday that Boucher is divorced, lives alone. Bullington described Boucher as a socialist. He's pretty much the opposite of Rand Paul in every way. The neighbors know that they've had heated discussions about health care. Boucher wanted a national health system. They lived side by side in this gated community. So here's the thing. This is serious. You know, this is so serious. You know, you think about the Republican congressmen who were nearly massacred themselves in Alexandria. No one ever talks about that. Steve Scalise, yes, Steve gets mentioned because he nearly died. But it wasn't just him. It was the whole lot of them that would have been the object, would have been massacred if it hadn't been for Capitol Police intervening and for them, you know, hiding in the dugout and whatever else the circumstances were. Some of them left early. But it was going to be a mass murder. This is serious. These are our senators, our congressmen. And the thing they have in common is that they are known to be conservative. I just think somebody's going to have to take this seriously. The way the media downplays this is shocking to me. Rand Paul is in serious trouble. I'm not saying he's going to die. I'm not inferring that. So I want to make sure. But this is a serious, five broken ribs. Look, if you just break one rib, you are in terrible pain. And they talk about how this could lead to infections. It can lead all kinds of things. He said that the bones are partly or completely cracked. So this was whatever Boucher did to him. He hit him hard. And so I just think this is disgusting and unacceptable, for heaven's sake, which reminds me of something else. These are terrorist attacks, too. I mean, that's, if it's political, it's over health care. And he doles out this kind of, the Boucher doles out this kind of a wicked attack against Rand Paul for their differences on health care. That's a single terrorist attack, as far as I'm concerned. And that reminds me of a story which is just galling. This was a piece that Cesar Frank Figliuzzi, who was the former assistant director for counterintelligence at the Federal Bureau of Investigation under Barack Obama, he did a piece with NBC, and he said, after the shooting in New York, or the killings in New York City, see, we don't have to have guns to kill people, by the way. To be clear, Cesar Frank Figliuzzi says to NBC, any loss of life is a tragedy, and law enforcement will always work tirelessly to avoid it. But there is inevitable evolution happening as the old pass fail view of counterterrorism pivots toward a containment and mitigation strategy. But just as officials are adjusting their perspective, it may be time for the public to adjust as well, he says. If we cling to the old view that any successful attack represents a counterterrorism failure, we must also be ready to accept a new way of life. Do we want to view anyone from a different country with a different set of beliefs as no longer welcome here? I would argue we do not. Today, the White House is already calling for even more stringent constraints on immigration policy. Taken to its illogical extreme, this approach to counterterrorism will preclude anyone from anywhere entering the U.S. if any of their fellow nationals has ever committed a terror act. That's not who we are. And so then he goes, NBC, by the way, tweeted out on the article of his conversation with him, Americans must prepare for a future where terror is routine. And of course, we know that the terrorist in New York received a diversity visa, and that's how he got here. But we can't, you know, do away with those, because that wouldn't be right, and that's not who we are. So you're just going to have to get used to it. You're going to have to get used to liberals who hate your policy, atheists who hate your faith, killing you. This is a new normal, because heaven forbid, we should strike out at anyone and sort of prevent some of this stuff or punish them roundly. Let's just see what happens to this guy in Texas. Will he get the same? This is Texas. Yes, I recognize. Maybe there are some judges in Texas who actually still believe in enforcing the law. Maybe. I hope so. But we'll see what kind of treatment he gets. You know, what kind of coverage this gets. And by the way, I mentioned this to you last week, but I think this applies today in this discussion. Cato did a very lengthy survey on political correctness, and it says, among other things, that 71% of Americans say political correctness has silenced discussions society needs to have. 58% have political views they're afraid to share. A solid majority, 59% of Americans, think people should be allowed to express unpopular opinions in public, even those deeply offensive to others. On the other hand, 40% think government should prevent hate speech. Despite this, the survey also found Americans willing to censor, regulate, or punish a wide variety of speech and expression they personally find offensive. And so then it goes to break it down, and it says that liberals more likely than conservatives to say speech is offensive. And also then you find, when you break it down, that it's conservatives, Republicans, Christians who feel that they are less free to speak than liberals. Liberals don't feel so much, they don't have such a problem with that. They don't feel constrained. And so I don't know what's happening here. I sort of think, certainly in the Christian world, we have created a passivity, a passiveness that is unacceptable. And now I recognize that as followers of Jesus, we are to turn the other cheek. We are to forgive. I think that that's not incompatible with protecting your church, the loved ones. I think that God also, in his word, lays down sort of foundational understandings of walls, of families, of protection, of defense, like in building that wall in Nehemiah's time, building the wall with building with one hand and the sword in the other hand. Somehow we have to reconcile this, and I think we've gone way too far to the passive side, and also to, I'm just going to step in it here, to the side that's the extreme form to me of Calvinism, of reform, where we just accept everything. Well, this is God willed it, so all those people got killed in that church, so, oh, well, we can't do anything about it, or we don't do anything about it. I'm not expecting some party to go out and get vengeance, but I'm talking about fighting. I think we've lost our, and also just anger. It's okay to be angry about this. In fact, if you're not angry about some guy going into a church on Sunday morning and slaughtering 26 people, including children, you know, children's lives are not more valuable than 72-year-old people's lives. But I don't know why we value children's lives over the elderly. I don't really think, because I guess the length of it, but life is precious regardless. And so if you're not angry, if you're not angry, if the manhood in you does not rise up and say, you know what? I'm not going to let that happen in my church. We're going to do something. We're going in my place of business, in my home. I am not going to let my children and my family be sitting ducks to wickedness. So anyway, that's kind of the way I see this morning. I couldn't believe that what's happened to Senator Rand Paul. I just think that's horrible. And the thing that really is bad to me is the little attention that it's getting. And the emphasis, the fact that he was so badly wounded and nobody talked about it. We had trouble finding a clip where they would even talk about how bad his injuries were. But I'm going to switch the clip here, Rob. I think what I want to mention now is something that kind of fits this a little bit in the theme of weakness and the lack of justice. Just on Friday, Bo Bergdahl, who all of these people were killed or injured trying to save him after he deserted his post, he gets off scot-free. I want you to hear Jennifer Griffin report on this from last Friday. Let's listen.
Knowing that a military judge held his fate, Bo Bergdahl looked visibly shaken this morning as he re-entered the courtroom at Fort Bragg. The judge, Colonel Jeffrey Nance, read his ruling. It was brief. Sergeant Bo Bergdahl would receive no jail time, reduction to the rank of E1 or private, $1,000 forfeiture of pay per month for 10 months, and a dishonorable discharge. The decision on Sergeant Bergdahl is a complete and total disgrace to our country and to our military, President Trump wrote in a tweet. Bergdahl's defense lawyers had argued for no jail time since their client spent 4 of the 5 years in Taliban captivity in a cage and pled guilty to misbehavior before the enemy and desertion. They argued he was abused as a child and suffered from mental problems, including a form of schizophrenia. The prosecution sought 14 years imprisonment. They brought 3 witnesses who said they were injured looking for Bergdahl, including Staff Sergeant Mark Allen, who was shot in the head and remains bedridden. The judge would not allow testimony from former unit mates who said 6 troops were killed looking for Bergdahl due to a lack of evidence. Bergdahl's lawyers are appealing the dishonorable discharge, citing statements made by President Trump on the campaign trail.
President Trump's unprincipled effort to stoke a lynch mob atmosphere while seeking our nation's highest office has cast a dark cloud over the case. Every American should be offended by his assault on the fair administration of justice and his disdain for basic constitutional rights.
Bergdahl's lawyer went on to say his client wanted to thank the unit members who had searched for him and sustained what he called heroic injuries doing so, Brett.
Well, this is a shocking story, and it's just another situation where, to me, weakness is the response. This guy deserts his country. He causes people to die and be injured. The judge hears testimony, and yet he is allowed to go free. He's going to be reduced, his rank is going to be reduced a little bit, but he's walking free. 5 members of the Taliban were exchanged for his life under President Barack Obama. His father, with his Islamic beard, was featured in a ceremony calling Bergdahl a hero. This is a sham. It's got to do a number on the morale of our military and of the real men who serve us. So just another injustice, just another day, another injustice, another shooting. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
And because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Corner. Illegal immigrant activists calling themselves the Immigration Liberation Movement shut down Nancy Pelosi's press conference. Pelosi, a stalwart supporter of the DREAM Act, was rebuked aggressively when she voiced her support for Dreamers. The activists shouted, "Not Dreamers, all 11 million. They also shouted, "No borders, no nations, stop deportations." In doing so, they revealed the globalists' endgame for the entire DACA conversation. Efforts to grant amnesty to the so-called Dreamers is nothing more than an opening move toward amnesty for all illegal immigrants.
Listen to the Hamilton Corner, weekdays from 5 to 6 p.m. Central on AFR. For more from Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Thanks a lot, Mr. Johnson. Merry Xmas.
Merry Xmas? Well, I guess that's one step up from Happy Holidays, but I think what you mean is Merry Christmas.
This year, let's help keep Christ in Christmas with the American Family Association Keep Christ in Christmas wristband. It's a fun, inexpensive way to remind friends, family, and even strangers that without Christ, there would be no Christmas. Get a free wristband as our gift to you and order more to share at afa.net.
Hello, everyone. This is Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. This is your early announcement about the 2018 tours to Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown, as well as Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon. We call these Spiritual Heritage Tours. There'll be one in June and one in September. For all the information about these tours, go to our website, www.spiritualheritagetours.com. Very simply, spiritualheritagetours.com.
A Moment of Truth with Gary Bryden, Executive Director of the Association of Independent Methodists.
We live in a world where we are bombarded with all kinds of opinions concerning what is right, wrong, and the truth. What if I told you that there is a way to find the answers to your questions? The Association of Independent Methodists, or AIM, was founded over 50 years ago with the purpose of helping people find a spiritual home. AIM seeks to bring people back home to the Bible as the Word of God. It seeks to bring people home to worshiping and living for God. Simply stated, the Association of Independent Methodists is a network of Bible-believing Methodist churches committed to spreading the gospel, the message of heart purity, and making disciples and multiplying churches.
The Association of Independent Methodists, like-minded congregations doing together what can't be done separately. Visit AIM2020.com.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. The Trump administration has bet big time on Mohammed bin Salman, the 32-year-old crown prince of Saudi Arabia, renowned for his energy vision, for transforming his nation, and ruthless determination to consolidate power. That bet seems to be paying off following the dragnet MBS, as he's known, pulled off over the weekend. It involved arrests of a number of rival royals, including the Muslim Brotherhood-backing billionaire Prince Al-Walid bin Talal and hardline Wahhabi clerics. We'll know soon whether the young crown prince can continue consolidating power and to what end. Meanwhile, President Trump has urged that Saudi Aramco's initial public offering be brought to a U.S. market. It may wind up in China, though. If so, it's a matter of time until the dollar is displaced as the reserve currency of the world. A very bad bet indeed for this country's economy and debt. This is Frank Affney.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Oh, on this dreadful morning. When people are just really suffering, and just think of the people in the last few weeks who have lost loved ones. We move so fast between these killings that we forget, you know, in the wake of it. Our shattered lives, husbands, wives, children killed, whether it was New York City, whether it was Las Vegas, whether it was the church yesterday morning in Texas. It's just we need to remember to pray as we're on our knees, just asking for God's grace and mercy, that He would... That people would be receptive to the comfort that only the Holy Spirit can bring, and certainly He can bring it. There, you know that that's true. The days are getting more dangerous, and the days are becoming more evil, and I think we are hurtling toward the end. But then, you know, I think maybe the disciples thought that in the first century too, so I don't know how long God's going to tarry, but certainly we can visibly see that things are worse. I don't think anyone could argue that they aren't. But nevertheless, life goes on, and we celebrate that there is a Savior, and His birthday's coming up. Thank God for that, a time of joy and remembrance. And we're offering, AFA has produced these beautiful wristbands that say, "Keep Christ in Christmas." Can you imagine that we have to fight to do that? That's probably one of the reasons we're in the situation we're in, don't you think? That Jesus has been so purged from the culture and the message of redemption, and just the basic tenets of faith and behavior as laid out in the Ten Commandments have just been erased from consciousness. And so is it any wonder that life is not sacred anymore, and that lying is not a problem and adultery is not a problem, and that honoring your parents is just becoming a quaint little thing of the past? So, yes, but I digress. Christmas, yes. We have these beautiful wristbands that say "Keep Christ in Christmas." And by the way, they are silicone. They are rubber and latex free. Some of you, excuse me, have been concerned about that. So I just want you to know that. We are offering one free. It's our gift to you. All you have to do is go to afa.net. That's afa.net. And get your Keep Christ in Christmas wristband. And also, if you want to buy more, then you can. And give them to people that you know, your kids, your Sunday school class, the members of your church, whoever that you think would like those. So it's afa.net, afa.net for your Christmas wristband. Also, we are in the middle of Operation Christmas Child, which means that you take a shoebox and you fill it with wonderful things for kids in some very difficult countries around the world where there's war and poverty, disaster, famine, and disease. You prepare those boxes, and they get collected the week of November 13th through the 20th. This is an effort of Samaritan's Purse, one of my favorite charities, maybe my favorite charity. SamaritansPurse.org/OCC is the web address so that you can get more information. SamaritansPurse.org/OCC, Operation Christmas Child, OCC. And so that's that. With that, last thing, Orange Letter Campaign. You can write a letter to a North Korean believer. It will be translated into English, or translated, no, it will not, and it will not be sent. There's no way they could get a letter into North Korea. Instead, broadcasters who are broadcasting, just encouraging Christian broadcasting, will translate your letter and read it over these broadcasts that more and more North Koreans are listening to. It's the first time they've ever had a chance really to hear anything from the outside world. If you'd like to join with that, go to engagemagazine.net, engagemagazine.net, and they will explain to you how to do that. All right, well, there's another report. There is so much to tell you. I mean, there always is, right? So let me see if I can get as much of this in as possible and make it clear. I'll let NBC start this little bit because Investigator Mueller is turning up the burner, and here we go.
The legal vice may be tightening on President Trump's former national security advisor, Michael Flynn. Multiple sources familiar with the investigation tell NBC News federal investigators have gathered enough evidence to bring charges in their investigation of Flynn and his son, Michael G. Flynn. The elder Flynn was fired after just 24 days on the job for lying about his contacts with the Russian ambassador. Mr. Trump has downplayed any connections between Flynn and Russia.
I do think he's a fine man.
Under scrutiny, Flynn was paid nearly $34,000 to speak at a 2015 Moscow gala and seen sitting next to the Russian President Vladimir Putin while he was informally advising the Trump campaign. Sources indicate Special Counsel Robert Mueller is zeroing in on Flynn's lobbying work and whether he laundered money or lied to federal authorities about his overseas contacts, and whether Flynn attempted to orchestrate the removal of a chief rival of Turkey's president from the U.S. to Turkey in exchange for millions of dollars. Sources confirm Flynn's son, who worked on the Trump campaign and briefly on the transition, could also face charges.
If Michael Flynn, the elder Michael Flynn, were to cooperate with investigators, that could both save his son and potentially limit any consequences that he himself faces.
It's the latest chapter in the Russia probe and comes after indictments last week of Trump's former campaign chair, Paul Manafort, and his deputy, Rick Gates. Also unveiled, former Trump volunteer campaign advisor George Papadopoulos Gonzalez pled guilty to lying to the FBI about contacts with Russian officials. Mr. Trump insisting Friday,
"All I can tell you is this. There was no collusion."
Today, House Speaker Paul Ryan urged everyone to let the investigation play out.
"We need to let these career professionals do their jobs, see it through. So, I don't think he should be stepping down. I don't think he should be fired. And the president's made it clear he's not going to do that."
So doesn't that make you feel better to know that Paul Ryan is all about Bob Mueller not stepping down? He's all behind him. But I'll get to that in just a second. Let me just talk about Michael Flynn for a second. I'll go on record as saying that I think this is totally bogus. Listen to what she said in the NBC report. "The bad thing, the way she..." Oh, Michael Flynn received $34,000 for speaking out at this event, and he's sat next to Putin. Do you know there's nothing wrong with that? Do you know that speakers get thousands of dollars? Did you know that Bill Clinton got $500,000 for speaking for the Russians for one speech? Speakers get paid this kind of amount for speaking all the time. He was, by the way, a retired lieutenant general, former head of the Defense Intelligence Agency. I'm sure he could command big fees. That is not illegal or immoral. He sat next to Putin. Do you recognize that in the last, 91, when the Soviet Union broke up, dare I repeat myself, almost every single person, every business went to Russia, did business with the Russians, tried to get into that market, and certain churches tried to evangelize. I would say thousands of Americans traveled to Russia, had dinner with all kinds of Russians, hung out with Russians, and certainly a lot of people in Washington had dealings with the Russians because we thought they were a new potential ally. Anybody remember that? So this is not like shocking. And I have to tell you that General Flynn and his son, General Flynn especially, they are heroes to the people from where they came. I think they're from Rhode Island. There's a big long article in USA Today about what a hero Michael Flynn is. He is a hero. I will go on record as saying I think this is absolutely bogus. If I'm wrong, I will be the first to say it. But I can tell you, I don't think that this man has done anything to undermine and undercut the security of his country. He's too much of a patriot. And when they say he lied about contacts with Russians, they're talking about a conversation that was monitored illegally and leaked to the press, in which some passing remark was made about sanctions. And the transcript, from my understanding, he's not dealing with the Russians, making deals, promising anything. It comes up in the conversation. And when asked by Mike Pence if he had discussed, I think they got specific about it, he said no. And that was the basis upon which he was fired. It was because Mike Pence went on television to defend Michael Flynn and was very offended because he thought he had been betrayed by Michael Flynn. It really is a matter of interpretation, and I think that that's Michael Flynn's greatest crime. And when they go into this whole business of Michael Flynn going after the enemy of Erdogan, who is Fethullah Gulen here in the United States, I have to tell you there's a lot more to that story. I have discussed Fethullah Gulen on this program, but it's been a very long time. But he's up in the Pocono Mountains. He has developed very sophisticated curriculum, which are stealth jihad. He has developed all of these STEM schools, which many of your kids may even belong to, that bring in Turkish professors. There are a lot of questions about Fethullah Gulen, who many of us have raised before. And because Michael Flynn knows all about the infiltration of the Muslim Brotherhood, I'm not saying that Fethullah Gulen is part of the Muslim Brotherhood. That's a different sect of Islam. But the whole business of jihad and Sharia. So Michael Flynn has been very in tune to that. So that's one of the reasons why Barack Obama fired him, because he was not politically correct on that issue. And then, of course, he came to work for President Trump and was very clear that finally he was going to have the ability to clean out the intelligence agencies. They knew he wanted to do that. And so, trust me, it was not an accident that his conversation with some Russian was leaked to the press and then twisted the way it has been. I don't think Michael Flynn has done anything. I'll just say that. I'll tell you right there. I don't think he has. And again, if I'm wrong about that, I'll be the first to tell you. But then we hear Paul Ryan, knowing that Bob Mueller now looks like he may indict American hero, Lieutenant General Flynn, and his son for all these things that they are suggesting that he's guilty of, terrible things. Which I doubt. I'm overstating it. They're not even charging him with terrible things, but they make it sound terrible. So then we have Paul Ryan going on with Chris Wallace, and I want you to hear it again because it's just as bad as it sounds a second time. Here it is, clip six.
I want to ask you briefly about the Russia investigation. The special counsel, Robert Mueller, has charged two top Trump campaign officials with various misconduct, one guilty plea by a campaign associate for lying to the FBI. Some Republicans are arguing the president should fire Robert Mueller. In fact, several members of your own caucus have filed a resolution calling for him to step down. Some are saying Congress should cut off his funding. Will you pledge that you will not allow the Mueller investigation to be curbed or stopped?
Yeah, I've said all along, we need to let these career professionals do their jobs, see it through. So, no, I don't think he should be stepping down. I don't think he should be fired. And the president's made it clear he's not going to do that. So, no, we're not going to interfere with this investigation. The investigation will take its course, and we will let it take its course. We're also doing our own investigations
all right,
here in
that's
the House
enough.
And the Senate.
Yes, sure well. You are. Yeah, we know all about that. I happen to know that Paul Ryan is stopping investigations in any way he can. So is all the leadership in the House. There are a lot of good men in the House, not enough of them, but they've tried to do what's right, and Paul Ryan has kind of put the quiet. He stopped it, let's just say, squelched it. You wonder why we're in this situation? It's because of men like Paul Ryan who won't do anything, nothing. Oh, no, 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 we can't stop this investigation. You know, remember that Bob Mueller, if for no other reason, was very close to James Comey, which is part of this investigation. And so he never should have been appointed. He was appointed by Rob Rosenstein, who is up to his ears in complicitness with this uranium deal, along with Comey, along with Mueller. This stinks to high heaven, but Paul, oh, no, this isn't, we are not going to interfere in any way. And this is why, ladies and gentlemen, we're in the mess that we're in. And remember the article I read you last week about the interview with John Boehner by, I think it was a Politico reporter. I think it was Politico. And John Boehner just kind of spilled his guts. He was drunk, and so he said probably more than he should. How much he hates conservatives. Hates them. Mark Meadows. Really hates Jim Jordan. And how Paul Ryan was his handpicked candidate to take over and how they still talk, you see. So this is what we have leading us in the Congress. And this is why 2018 is so important. It's so important. I haven't heard a lot of discussion about the House races. We hear a lot about the Senate because there's, heaven knows, there are plenty of bad Republican senators and there are more bad Democratic senators. And so they all need to go. They all need to go. But we haven't heard that much about House races. And so I'm just saying, I'm just planting a seed. Don't wait till the general election. Get involved in the primaries in your states. Figure out who the good candidates are. And by the way, in Virginia, there's a big race tomorrow. AFA has a voter guide, AFA Action. It will give you some guidance about where people stand on the issues. Those of you in Virginia, you must vote tomorrow. You must. You just must. It is your patriotic duty. When you see people slaughtered in churches and on the streets of New York and in nightclubs and wherever else you fill in the blank and in concert venues, you know it's time to do something. And before their all-out war kind of ensues in this country between people of different viewpoints, we need to do something at the polls. So consider that your armed duty. You arm yourself with a pencil and you go into the poll and you go and you vote intelligently. Do your due diligence. Tell your friends, your neighbors, while we still can do this through the political voting free process that our founding fathers gave us, we must do that. And so I think of our friends in Venezuela who have lost all hope right now. They're starving. Because they couldn't pull it back. Let's don't repeat what's happened in Venezuela. This is Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.